Turn with me to Romans 3:19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Also turn to Galatians 3:24. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Today's a special day for us as we have the missionaries that Rifle prayed for here that our church supports, Matthew and Tabitha Bratcher, and their kiddos. They have four children.
They're back here.
They're all here, and they're back here with Luca. And Samuel's have been working, and so the cousins have been hanging out. And we've had a Barnett family reunion here, and had about, I don't know, 80 to 100, somewhere in there, Barnett's here, gathered this week. Had a really blessed time. But we're glad each of you are here today. And so while Matthew and Tabitha are here, they haven't been here in a while. Several years ago, Matthew and Tabitha were missionaries into South Sudan, and they came and told the whole story after being over there. I was talking with their children this morning, and some of them were born over there while you were there. Two of them?
One of them.
One. Mm-hmm.
Isaiah. Okay.
Just Isaiah?
In the north.
Just Isaiah, okay.
Yeah, Isaiah.
All right. Just one was born over there, so and the rest were born here in the United States. So they had children while they were still over there, and now they've come back, and we've continued to support them in their missionary efforts. And being in the Dallas area, Matthew and his mom, my oldest sister, taught English. My oldest sister was a retired English teacher, and so they went into South Sudan and taught English as a second language there and did missions work. And then in the Dallas area, they're doing the same thing. So they're going to share with us, and Matthew will share with us about the missions program some, and then bring the word of God to us. And so I love this time. Very thankful for them being here. Love them. Love getting to know their family better. So please welcome Matthew Bratcher as he comes to minister to us.
Thank you. Thank you, Bobby. Appreciate it. Thank you all so much. It's such a blessing to be here. And the Lord is so good. And this picture right here, if you see on the left side, that's when we lived in Sudan. We were actually, it's a little bit confusing because Sudan, when we were there, they divided between north and south. We lived in the north, actually the northern area, but I've also been to South Sudan too. But we lived in the northern area, Khartoum, which is a very strict Muslim area. It's under Sharia law. So, but we got a chance to share the gospel with many people while we were there. In 2012, I was arrested after my son Isaiah was born, and was put in prison for about 21 days. And miraculously, they released me around midnight in October 2012. So we came back to the U.S., and we were praying about wanting to go. We wanted to go back overseas and share the gospel because people had given, we had a real heart for the people, for the Muslim people. And some of y'all may know, basically, about one out of every four people in the world is Muslim. So it's about 2 billion people in the world. And Islam is growing a lot, especially by birth, because Muslim families have a lot of children. And so God has given us, I believe, God really wants all of us to be able to reach out towards the Muslim people, you know. So when God called us, God put on our heart to, even though I traveled a lot in different Muslim countries, I've been to Pakistan, I've been to the northern Africa, Tunisia, Morocco, I've been to Oman, which is close to Saudi Arabia. But God gave us a passion to reach out to Muslims and to others who don't know Christ that are in Dallas, Fort Worth. And the main reason is we have so many people, so many Muslims coming, so many Iraqis, Syrians. We have people from all over the world, Afghanistan, These are actually some of the most unreached countries in the world. But they're coming right to America. But I believe God, how many of you all know God is ultimately in control? God is sovereign over the whole world. I believe God has brought Muslim people and also Hindus, we reach out to Buddhists, people from all over that don't know Christ, he's brought them to America for a certain reason, right? And I believe it's so we can reach them with the gospel. Because it's very difficult, and Tabitha and I experience this, we love going overseas, and I love traveling, going overseas, but in the Muslim world, it's very difficult, you know, as we experienced, we learned Arabic, my wife and I, we get to speak a lot of Arabic with a lot of our Arab friends. About 36 countries in the world are Muslim countries, so Arabic is spoken, but mostly, some of y'all know, Arabic is actually spoken about 30% of Muslims. So there's a lot of Muslims from India and from Pakistan and from Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world. So, but yet God is moving among Muslims. Muslims for the first time are getting to hear the gospel. They're getting to hear people as we meet them in Dallas, Fort Worth, as missionaries go overseas. They're meeting, especially in the Western world, in Europe and America, they're finally starting to meet Christians. So in Dallas-Fort Worth, we have the second largest refugee population in the United States. So the population is growing very quickly. And I'll tell you, one thing we do is we go, show you some pictures here. We go and we just go out and share the gospel with our Muslim friends. And we go and we give out food. We teach ESL, English as a second language. And we go to a place here called Local Good Coffee, where we meet a lot of Muslim friends, and we start to share the gospel with them. So God's put on our heart. How many of y'all believe that every person deserves opportunity to hear about Christ?
Yes.
And so you know we're so blessed here in America. You know when we traveled overseas in Sudan, every time we meet somebody. They say to me, Matthew, and to when? Where are you from? I say, Anamin America, from America. They say, oh, Shaitan Kabir, the greatest Satan. So I say, okay. And so then I tell them, I say, you know, in America we have good people, we have bad people. You know, I say, what about Sudan? Oh, yes. Of course, the worst thing in Islam is if you drink alcohol or eat pork. Those are the worst sins, you know. So he said, we have people here that eat pork and drink alcohol. These are horrible people. So, you know, and I told them, I said, you know, but as I started talking to them, I said, I love the people of Sudan. I love Muslims. They're like, wow, we never knew this. Muslims are taught when they're very little that, you know, Christians are the enemy, you know. Many Muslims are taught this, even here in America, you know. However, if we get a chance to meet them, now all of a sudden that changes. As Christians start to meet them, that's why it's so important for us to reach out because as Christians start to meet them, they start to change their mind. And they say, wow, I have one friend here. He's a Christian, and he's a nice person. He's a really good person. And all of a sudden, their whole image of Christianity starts to change. So when you meet people from different countries around the world, and especially from Muslim countries, they see America, even when they live here in America, they believe everybody in America is Christian, besides a few people, as they know, maybe a few Buddhists, a few Hindus, but other than that, they pretty much believe everybody's Christian. Because in their country, like we go to Sudan, where we used to live, in the North Sudan, it's all Muslim, 99%. So if you can imagine, they live in a culture where everybody's Muslim, they're taught America, everybody's Christian. And all they know is they watch movies from Hollywood, and they see Britney Spears and Madonna and Taylor Swift and all these things, and they think that's Christianity. So if you can imagine, that's where the barrier comes. That's how the devil works on their mind. And so that's how they've never, until they meet someone who can share the gospel with them, they don't know any different, you know. And a lot of the imams and sheikhs, they will reinforce that by saying, hey, be careful about those Christians, you know. These are bad people, you know. And they'll point to people like Taylor Swift, or, you know, or just picking her out, or Madonna, or whoever it is, you know. And they'll say, hey, look at these people. You know, these people are not good. We know, we can look, and the Bible says, Jesus says, you'll know them by their fruit. so we can look and see, you know, who are true followers of Christ. That's something that God's put on our heart as believers. We want to share the gospel with others. But for Muslims, they don't, and others, they don't know that. But we, as we go out, we have so many opportunities to share the gospel with people. And so what God's put on my heart is that there's basically two missionaries for every 1 million Muslims. But a lot of times in America, people don't reach out to Muslims. And, you know, as we talked about the news, you know, we heard what's going on in Iran. A lot of things are happening, and people a lot of times are fearful, you know, to reach out to Muslims because they see things on the news, right? But Muslim people, I would say 90% of them are very, very peaceful. And, they just have different understanding, a different mindset. But as God puts on our heart, what we do is we just look for opportunities to share with them. And one thing I love about Muslims is when you engage with them, I just let them share what they believe, and then I share with them about Jesus. So if you look at how Jesus shared the gospel, he was always engaging, always asking questions. And so that's a lot what Tabitha and I do when we share. My mom, who also works with us, is that we ask him a lot of questions. So I'll tell you a neat story. A few years ago, about two years ago, we had a chance to go to a mosque. I've been to a few mosques before. Go as a visitor. And we got a chance to, and it's real close to where we live. And we live in the DFW area. It's actually about 10 minutes away from us. So we got to, me and two friends got to go into the mosque as Christians. We went on a Friday where they have the sermon. We listened to the sermon in Arabic and English. We listened to the prayers. And afterwards, they invited us upstairs for discussion, which happens. It's happened to me a few times when I've been to the mosque. So as we got up there, we started to ask a question. We said, hey, let me ask a good question. It was on Good Friday. So we said, do you believe as Muslims do you believe that Jesus died on Good Friday? Or what do you believe is Good Friday? And we told them as Christians what we believe, you know. They said, well, as Muslims, many of you know, in the Quran it said Jesus did not die. It was only made to appear so. So most Muslims believe Judas was the one who died. Yeah, even though it doesn't say that in the Quran. But they believe Judas, so they said, Judas is the one who died on the cross. And I said, okay, interesting. But I said, so how could they have got Judas and put him on the cross after they worked 3 years with Jesus, the 12 disciples? How could they have got Judas mixed up with Jesus? You're right, if you think about it, it doesn't make any sense. Can y'all hear me okay? It doesn't make any sense. So a lot of our Muslim friends were just, and the imam was even saying, he goes, you know, we shouldn't ask a lot of questions about this. This is too complex. So we just built a friendship with him. Afterwards, we had Muslim friends were coming up to us and were asking us a lot of questions. And one man said, you know, I converted to Islam. He was Catholic. He said, I converted to Islam because these Muslims came and they were really nice to me. So I started going with them to the mosque, and I just converted to Islam, you know. And he said, why did you come to the mosque today? And I said, we came because God told us to come. So what we really always try to do is through prayer, listening to the Holy Spirit. And I said, we come because we want you to go to heaven. I said, I want you to know that Jesus is the only one that can save us. We've all broken God's law. We all deserve his punishment. It's only through Jesus that we can be saved. So I got to share that with him, you know, you could tell he was really touched. Then another guy came to me from Saudi Arabia. He said, Matthew, I want to talk to you. So we walk outside and we talk for about an hour and a half. He asked a lot of questions. You know, Muslims are a lot like people, a lot of times people of Mormons and things like that. They're very strong in their beliefs. However, they like to listen. They like to engage. So I engaged with this guy from Saudi Arabia, the Saudi guy, and we talked for about probably an hour and a half. And I gave him a Bible. I said, I hope you can read this. You know, I want you to see that the Bible is true. I want you to see that Jesus really did come. They call him Arabic. He's called Isa or Yesu. I want you to see that he's true, you know. And afterwards, he came to me. He goes, thank you so much. He goes, I've been here for many years in America. I've never actually got to ask a Christian what he actually believes. All I've heard is what I've listened to from at the mosque, and I've heard from others, you know. And so we actually were there, I think about 5 hours, about 5 hours at the mosque. We had had so many conversations, but it was all the Lord. You know, the Lord put on our heart to go in a peaceful way. We weren't there to come against them. We were there to help, to listen to them. And then as Paul, if you notice, wherever, as they were, Paul went, and Jesus, they were always looking to share the gospel, right? And that's what we do. So one of our goals is that we work with a lot of people that are former Muslims that have come to Christ, and we encourage them, pray for them, we help them to be bold to share their faith. A lot of our friends that are former Muslims have friends from Syria that I work with that are former Muslims, from Morocco, a friend from Kuwait. We have a lot of friends that have come to Christ, and it's amazing working with them because we go out and we encourage them, and they encourage us. You know, they share wonderfully, and then we get to share as well. You know, and so as we start to share the gospel, one thing we always do is offer to pray for our Muslim friends. A lot of times they've never had. In Islam, you do rote prayers. You know, you just repeat what's told to say. Like you say, there is no God but Allah. Muhammad is his prophet. So they don't know you can have a personal relationship with God. There's no assurance of salvation. So we share with them, when we pray with them, that Jesus is the way. You know, he's the truth and he's the life. And we share with them that there's a way to make it to heaven. A lot of my Muslim friends, they say, I said, what do you think will happen when you die? They said, well, I'll probably go to hell for a while, serve like a penance, and then hopefully God will take me over, Allah will take me over into heaven. And I said, well, I said, I understand you're taught that, but I said, in the Bible it says man is appointed once to die and then the judgment. We all will have to face God, you know, on judgment day. They believe in, it's called Yom Kiyama in Arabic. They believe this in the Quran, but they don't know how to make it to heaven. That's why you see sometimes people that are y'all may have heard people that become martyrs for Islam, and they'll blow themselves up thinking that they're going to go to heaven, because that's told to them that if they do this, if they kill someone, they can go straight to heaven. Now most Muslims will not follow this because they look at that and they say, wow, that's crazy, you know. But for those that start to really try to follow everything that's taught them by some, they can easily go into that, and they think, in their mind, you can imagine following a religion that you have no understanding of what's going to happen when you die, you know. And most Muslims think they're going to go to hell, you know. But they think hopefully they'll make it over into heaven. You know, I said, well, actually, it's not like that. It's either, we talked about that earlier today, it's either, we know the Bible says that once we die, we're either going to go to heaven or hell, you know. There's only two places, and there's no second chance. So, One thing the Lord put on my heart is that we reach out with love to our Muslim friends, putting on our heart what, if we were Muslim, what would I want? I always think, the Lord told me this many times, if I was Muslim, what would I want someone to come to tell me? Would I want someone just to come tell me, hey, Matthew, you know, it's great being your friend. I love hanging out with you. And let's just hang out. Or would I want someone to come and to love me enough to share the gospel with me, right? Because you think about it, Jesus, who is a master evangelist, right? He showed us how to love people, how to share the gospel, right? In a loving way, I want to share with them about Christ. Because if I was a Muslim, I would want to go to heaven, right? I would want deep down, like most people in the world want to make it to heaven. But a lot of times they don't know how to get there. If they haven't read the Bible, if they haven't encountered a believer in Christ. So when we encounter Muslims in America, most Muslims have never heard the gospel, ever. And so a lot of times when we talk to them, they say, wow, this is the first time we've ever heard this. But it's a seed that's planted, you know. And over time, we start to see that God, we sow into them, and then we let God, you know, bring the increase. You know, the Bible says we go out as sowers, you know, sowers in the word, you know. And So one of my friends, I'll tell you one story. One of my friends, he was reached out to by a woman in Dallas who's a Christian and shared the gospel with him for the first time. And he's from Egypt. We used to live in Egypt too for a year. And she shared the gospel with him, and he was really amazed because he had never heard the gospel. Like I said, like a lot of most Muslims, he started to go on online, start to research. He had started to see problems in Islam. A lot of Muslims, I would say especially the younger generation, they really start to, they're seeing the problems of Islam. They see Islam is not working. You know, you see many Muslim countries, they're fighting and they're in war, and their governments are a lot of times very, very bad, you know, as we experienced. But what happened to him is that once he started reading the Bible for the first time, he got a Bible, all of a sudden everything came to life. He said to me, he goes, Matthew, he goes, I was reading the Bible, and it goes, for all these years I'd studied the Quran, I had tried so hard to follow Islam, I had no peace, I had no hope. He goes, my whole life would fall apart, you know, and I tried so hard to do everything that the imams and the Quran told me, and yet I knew that I had no eternal life. I knew that when I died, I was going to go to hell, he told me. He said, but then once I started to hear about Christ, everything changed, because he realized that Jesus is the hope of the world, right? Jesus brings hope where people have no hope, because Jesus is our Savior, you know? And so when he accepted Jesus as a Savior, I got to go to his baptism, and it was amazing. He got up so boldly and preached the gospel to a lot of his Muslim friends that were there, and a huge church on the outside in Dallas area, and he shared so boldly, you know, the gospel. He's going online now, and he's sharing boldly with all of his friends. He's saying, I want you to know Christ. I want you to know, you know, come talk to me, you know. I want you to hear my story. You know, he shares his story very boldly, and what the Lord showed me is one person like that we see in the Bible, one person that comes to Christ like Paul came when he was Saul. God spoke to him on the road to Damascus, knocked him off his horse, right? A lot of us know that story. When he came to Christ, look how many people that Saul and then became Paul, how many people he touched. One person, right? A lot of people think, like, I'm just one person. What can I do? Well, if we all do our part, we can reach the world with the gospel, right? You know, it's like, because each one of us, we don't know how God works, how God multiplies, right? Paul, I'm sure, didn't know. Everywhere he went, he was preaching the gospel, right? He didn't know who was going to accept Christ, who was not. You know, he was just going to give everybody an opportunity, right? He got in a lot of debates. We get in a lot of debates with Muslims, but we do it in a friendly way. You know, in the Eastern culture, there's a way that they like to debate, and we learned this a lot. You can do it in a really friendly way. You know, in America, sometimes in the West, sometimes, like, I may get into a debate. Let's say I get in a debate with Pastor Bobby here, and I could get, all of a sudden, people get real upset. You know, it's like, I'm not going to talk to him because he doesn't believe one thing I believe. It's like, let's just not talk the rest of our lives. We'll go to church together, but never really, you know, talk too much again, you know, or, you know. But in the West, in the Eastern culture, they debate, and sometimes they do get upset, but a lot of times they're listening to what you're saying. If you see this, if you read through Acts with that mindset, you'll see Paul constantly getting into debates, constantly going to the synagogue, preaching boldly, constantly people coming after him. In Acts 16, Paul gets stoned. A lot of people, when you read it, it said he was as dead. When I say that in the Greek, it actually means he was dead. They gathered around him. They prayed for him. Miraculously, he gets up. And what does he do? Goes right back to preaching the gospel. You know, you think about it, it's like, you think Paul, a lot of people would say, okay, well, I tried the ministry. I preached the gospel. I got stoned. Back then, when they would stone you, they just didn't throw a few stones, you know. Like when they stoned Stephen, they threw stones to where you're dead, you know. But Paul, I believe, a lot of people believe that's where Paul had his great vision, and when he went to the third heaven, and he saw things that said he could not even describe, you know. And God basically allowed him to go through some suffering through that, you know, even through the, because it says the surpassing revelations he had. But anyway, what I would say is that God's doing amazing things. And the Bible talks about this in the parable of the sower. You know, when we sow the gospel, we don't know how it's going to multiply. But God brings the increase, right? You know, and so that's what we do a lot with Muslims. You know, a lot of times people give up working with Muslims because you know, like I say, I'm talking to a Muslim, I share Christ with him, a lot of times he's not going to receive Christ right away, you know, because he's kind of like, it's kind of like starting at ground zero, you know. I'm trying to share with him so he can know Christ. Like my friend Kareem, he told me that he came to Christ. It took him, I think it was 5 years to come to Christ. But over that time, God was working, you know. And now he's reaching a lot of people with the gospel, you know. So that's our goal, is to raise up people that can go out and reach more people with the gospel. And if you think about it, someone who has come from a Muslim background, you know, how amazing it is if you hear someone who's been a Muslim, who's followed all the ways of Islam, and yet they come to Christ. That's an amazing testimony. And so my friends that have this testimony, they see so many people that are hearing the gospel, so many people that are little by little coming to Christ. You know, it takes time, you know. And so that's the big thing, is not to give up, you know. And it constantly says that. We see that in the Bible too, right? It's constantly telling us not to give up. I wanted to share with you about basically when we go out. One of the things I was talking to my uncle Bobby about is the forgot, what's what we call the forgotten key to biblical evangelism. Okay, so as we go out, one of the big things is, how do we share the gospel, right? How do we engage with people? How do we, in a loving way, as Jesus did, to share with them, you know? There's a quote from Martin Luther. He says, "I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived." That's Romans 7:9. He said, "So it is with work righteousness and proud unbelievers. Because they do not know the law of God, which is directed against them, it is impossible for them to know their sin. Therefore, they are not open to instruction. If they would know the law, they would also know their sin, and the sin in which they are now dead would become alive in them." Okay, so this was, a lot of y'all know, Martin Luther was the father of the Protestant movement. You know, he was a Catholic priest. He started to read the Bible for himself, kind of without the Catholic understanding, and he started saying, wow, the Bible is actually teaching us that the law, that we need to know the law to understand the gospel, okay? So, one thing you see with Martin Luther, he started to understand this idea that you see in the gospel, and the gospel is called preaching the law to the proud and preaching grace to the humble, okay? So, I want to ask y'all, this is kind of a rhetorical question. Have you ever thought there must be a key to reaching the lost? You know, sometimes we try to reach out to people and we think, you know, what's the key here? What do I need to share? You know, okay, there is, and it's actually rusty, okay, because of lack of use. The Bible actually calls it the key, okay, and its purpose is to unlock the door of the Savior in John 10:9. So not only is it biblical, but it was used throughout church history to unlock the doors of revival. Okay, but much of the church today, we've gotten away from this. Okay, the problem is the key was lost around the turn of the 20th century. Keys have a way of getting lost. Okay, so you think about this key. Jesus actually used this key. Okay, so did Paul. Romans 3:19, we read earlier, and 20, talk about this. And James 2:10, James used this key. Stephen used it when he preached in Acts 7:53. Peter found that it had been used to open the door to release 3,000 imprisoned souls on the day of Pentecost. Jesus said the lawyers had taken away the key and even refused to let people enter the kingdom of God. The Pharisees didn't take it away. Instead, they bent it out of shape so it wouldn't do its work in Mark 7:8. Jesus returned it to its true shape as the scriptures prophesied he would in Isaiah 42:21. Satan has tried to prejudice the modern church against the key. He has maligned it, misused it, twisted it, and of course hidden it. He hates it because of what it does. Perhaps you're wondering what the key is. I will tell you. All I ask is that you set aside traditions and prejudices and look at the God's word on the subject. So this is an amazing thing, if you'll hear where I'm coming from on this. In Acts 28:23, the Bible tells us that Paul sought to persuade the hearers concerning Jesus, both from the law of Moses, okay, number two, out of the prophets. Okay, here are two effective ways of reaching the lost. Okay, first, look at how the prophets can persuade sinners concerning Jesus. Okay, fulfilled prophecy proves the inspiration of Scripture. The predictions of the prophets present a powerful case for the inspiration of the Bible. Any skeptic who reads the prophetic words of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Joel, or the words of Jesus in Matthew 24 cannot help but be challenged that it's not an ordinary book. A lot of y'all may know this. The Bible is the number one selling book of all time. That's a great thing to bring up to people when you talk to them. Have you read the Bible? Oh, no. Why not? Do you know it's the number one selling book of all time? Most people don't know that, right? Every year, year after year. The other means by which Paul persuaded sinners concerning Jesus was out of the law of Moses. Okay, the Bible tells us the law of Moses is good if it is used lawfully. 1 Timothy 1:8. For what purpose was God's law designed? The following verse tells us. The law is not made for a righteous person, but for sinners. 1 Timothy 1:9 and 10. It even lists sins for us in this verse. 1 Timothy 1:9 and 10, it says, this is for the disobedient, the ungodly, murderers, fornicators, homosexuals, kidnappers, liars. The law was designed primarily as an evangelistic tool. Paul wrote, he had not known sin but by the law. Romans 7:7. The law of God, the Ten Commandments, is evidently the key of knowledge that Jesus mentions in Luke 11:52. He was speaking to lawyers, those who should have been teaching God's law so that sinners would receive the knowledge of sin and thus recognize their need for a Savior. Yes. Okay, so this is really important to understand because this is like a, to me this is a, it really helped me to start understanding how I can share the gospel more effectively, and it doesn't matter with any person. It could be Muslim, it could be Buddhist, it could be Hindu, it could be any faith, because prophecy speaks to the intellect of the sinner. So if I talk about prophecy, I'm talking to the intellect, okay? When we share the gospel, sometimes we're talking to, many times we're talking to people's intellect. But I want to use the law to speak to people's conscience. So I don't know if y'all know, conscience actually means with knowledge. So the Bible says people sin with knowledge, meaning they know, even when we encounter Muslims who don't know the Ten Commandments, they sin with knowledge. Means when they sin, they know the Holy Spirit speaks to them that what they're doing is wrong. Okay? So if you think about the intellect, prophecy produces faith in the Word of God. Okay? The other brings knowledge of sin in the heart of the sinner. So the law of the God-given key is to unlock the door of salvation. Okay, the Bible says in Psalms 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Scripture makes it clear that the law is actually the one that converts the soul. Okay, so I want to tell this story to help understand, okay? Let's look at a regular civil law case, okay? Imagine if I said to you this, okay, picture you in this situation, okay? I've got some good news for you, okay? A $25,000 speeding fine has been paid on your behalf, right? You'd probably react by saying, what are you talking about? That's not good news. It doesn't make any sense. I don't have a $25,000 speeding fine, right? Okay? My good news wouldn't be good news to you, okay? It would actually seem foolish, okay? But more than that, it would be offensive, right? Because I'm insinuating you've broken the law when you think you've done everything right. Okay, however, if I put it this way, it makes more sense. While you were out today, the law clocked you going 55 miles an hour, okay, through an area set aside for blind children's convention. There were 10 clear warning signs, okay, stating that 15 miles an hour was a maximum speed, but you went straight through at 55 miles an hour. What you did was extremely dangerous. That's a $25,000 fine. The law was able to take its course when someone you don't even know stopped and paid the fine on your behalf. You're fortunate. Okay? Can you see that when you explain precisely what the person's done wrong, like the policeman in this case, he enables the good news to make sense. Does that make sense? If I don't clearly bring understanding that you've violated God's law, then the good news might seem foolish to you, right? Or inoffensive. But once you understand you've broken the law, then the good news will become good news indeed. Okay, so in the same way, if I go to a sinner and And this is what I learned. This is kind of a paradigm shift that the Lord's put on my heart. But if I go to someone and I say to him, Jesus died for your sins, that's true. And we all know as believers, we know what that means, right? However, to someone who doesn't know that they're a sinner, who doesn't really believe they're a sinner, that could seem foolish to them, okay? It's a good message, but it's not quite getting to where the problem is, okay? So what I'm doing is if I go to my, I say, you know, Jesus loves you, he died for you, it's wonderful. However, that person basically is going to look at that and they're going to say, hey, I'm a good person. This is what most people think that I encounter. And they say, I'm a good person. You know, I sin like everybody else. So it's easy just to kind of think that person is good, right? But if I take time to look at God's law, so the law actually, the moral law refers to the Ten Commandments. So a lot of y'all may know the Ten Commandments is what was our country was founded on. Used to be in a lot of schools. You know, today, fortunately, it's not, you know. But the Ten Commandments are very important because it shows us our sin. God gave it as the law to show us what is right, what is wrong, right? Because a lot of countries in the world, they don't follow the Ten Commandments, and you could see the chaos that they see, right? Okay, so when I show a sinner that he has violated God's law, okay, the good news that Jesus has paid the fine, all of a sudden is not foolish anymore, okay? It won't be as offensive. Romans 1:16 says God, it's the power of God unto salvation. Okay, so we talked about Romans 3:19 earlier. It says, now we know whatsoever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Okay, so one of the reasons when we share the gospel, and I don't know if y'all have ever encountered this, if those of y'all that have shared the gospel, but when you encounter that, when you show people that they're, what I'm doing is in a loving way, as Jesus did the rich young ruler, he shared with them that he had broken God's law, right? If you remember the story of the rich young ruler. So this is what we're doing when I share with people, it's like, I ask them, it's like, have you ever, can I ask you some questions? Have you ever broken God's law? And they say, well, what is God's law? I said, actually, the Ten Commandments. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Tabitha and I are talking about doing a role. Okay, so let's say I meet Tabitha, and this is one thing I've learned. I learned a lot of this from a great evangelist, too, named, I meant to share from Ray Comfort, and he shares a lot of this, okay? So I meet Tabitha, okay? And it's like, I want to share and how many of y'all, I want to ask a question. How many of y'all have ever wanted to share the gospel with somebody, but you were wondering, like, what should I say? How do I bring this up? You know, how do I talk to them? You know, maybe you only have a couple minutes, you know, maybe they're in the restaurant, you know? You're like, I want to share about Jesus. Okay, so this is something I learned. It really helped me, and I've trained a lot of people in this at our church, just through the Lord's help. You know, okay. So I meet Tabitha. I always want to start in the natural. Okay, yeah, yeah. So it's like I meet her. Let's say she's at the park, and I say, hey, how are you doing today?
Hi, good.
Yeah, such a nice, beautiful day here in Rio Doso, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, could I ask you a question?
Okay, sure.
Are you a spiritual person?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. What kind of, do you have any kind of background in the church, or do you have, what kind of faith background do you have?
I grew up in church, yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you, growing up in church, what did you ever learn about how to get to heaven? Did you ever learn how to do this?
I think just like, you know, go to church, do good things, give, yeah.
Okay.
I'm good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Okay, now, do you know basically, have you ever read the Bible? For example?
Maybe when I was a kid.
Okay, okay. Now, you mentioned doing good things. How do you define good? What do you mean is good?
Just like maybe nice. Be nice.
Okay, be nice. Okay. Okay, that's wonderful. Now, basically, can I share with you how Jesus what he did for us so that we could be saved? Do you know much about Jesus?
He died on the cross.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think like for our sins.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Now let me ask you, do you consider yourself a good person?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so could I ask you some questions to see if that's true?
Okay.
Okay. Because, you know, I think that's an important question there. So, now have you ever, for instance, you know much about the Ten Commandments? You ever heard of the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you followed all the Ten Commandments?
No.
Okay. Okay. I appreciate your honesty. Have you ever lied before?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
Have you ever stolen anything?
Yeah, when I was a kid.
Okay. Have you ever used God's name in a bad way, as a cuss word or anything like that?
Maybe. I don't remember.
Okay. So have you ever hated someone with your heart?
Yes.
Okay. So from what you're, I'm not judging you, but just by hearing what you're saying, you've lied, right? You've stolen. I have too. I've stolen. You've said God's name in vain, sounds like. Like OMG, for instance, you've hated someone with your heart. Mm-hmm. Now, on the day of judgment, knowing this, do you think you'll be able to make it into heaven?
Well, I guess not, but I am better than other people. Like, I'm mm-hmm. better than Hitler. I'm better than other people.
Yeah, that's good. Well, let me tell you, a lot of times we try to compare ourselves to other people. You know, I compare myself to my neighbor or my friend or you know, like you mentioned, Hitler, but the most important thing is that the Bible talks about, you understand Jesus died on the cross. Most people know that, but they don't know this. Jesus paid the fine. Okay, we broke the law, Jesus paid the fine. Meaning we are all guilty. The Bible says we're all guilty before God. All of us. It says that every mouth be stopped, that every man know he's guilty before God. We've all broken his law. And it says in Galatians 3, the law is like a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, meaning we have to understand the law. We've broken God's law. So what I was saying is, would you understand that you're guilty at this point before God?
Yes.
Okay. And I am too. The only difference is I have accepted Jesus, and I've repented of my sins, and I've turned my life over to Christ. Would you be interested to turn to repent of your sins, to turn to Christ? Would you be interested to repent of your sins and to turn to Christ?
I think I did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some people like will say, I tried Jesus. You know, they'll say, I tried Jesus, for instance. But then over time, people can basically walk away, right? God's given us free will. But what I would say is to make sure, the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, meaning you want to follow Christ every day, you know. You want to make sure that you're born again. Have you ever heard that term, born again?
No.
Born again means that we all come out of our mother's womb once with water, but Jesus wants us to be born again through the Spirit. So what it means that we're all born of water, but we need to give our life to Jesus ask forgiveness of our sins, and that means a second birth. Mm. Does that make sense?
Well, that sounds interesting.
Yes. Yes, and that's exactly how a lot of conversations will go, just like this, is when you encounter people, the main idea is to help them to realize that you want them, I care about them, and I've shared this with a lot of friends. I've had people that came up and gave me hugs, and they said, thank you. They weren't even ready to receive Christ yet, but they said, thank you for sharing this, because they realized my motivation. See, if you notice my motivation, I'm asking her some challenging questions, but I'm doing it because I care about her, right? And so even though it could be a little bit offensive to her, but she actually receives it, usually most people receive it in a good way. Now, if she kind of gets upset or she says, hey, I don't want to talk about this anymore, that's okay, because I had an opportunity to share with her, and then I can give her a track is a great way. I don't know if any of y'all have ever given tracks to people.
Yes.
Yeah, parachute, okay. So basically, the last part I would just share is that a lot of people, they don't think about what's going to happen when they die, right? Most people they think more about the coffee they're going to order in the morning than they think about where they're going to spend eternity. It's sad because the devil gets people focused on this world, right? And you see it happen a lot, you know. So what I would say is when we share the gospel with people, one example I use to people is that some of y'all may have heard this before, but it's like a lot of people think when they die, they're just going to just, I'm just going to see what happens. I talked to a guy the other day. He goes, I'm just going to see what happens when I die, you know. Hopefully I'll make it, you know. And I told him, I said, hey, don't do that. I said, that's like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute, right? You know, if you're about to jump out of the airplane without a parachute, I'm going to grab you by your ankles and say, hey, don't do that, you know. And you might tell me, I'm going to flap my arms, and I'm going to fly, you know. I'm going to say, no. Gravity's going to hit you, and you're going to go straight down, and you're going to be dead, you know. And sadly, a lot of people think about it like that. So what I tell is, like, don't trust in yourself. That's what I tell people. A lot of people, they trust themselves. I think I'm good. I think, like Tabitha was saying, I think I'm a good, most people, 99% of people believe they're good. And the Bible says most men proclaim their own goodness, Proverbs 20, verse 4. So what I want to do is when I share the gospel, like I was doing with Tabitha, I want to help her to realize, don't jump out of the plane and just, when you die, and just go, wow, I don't know what's going to happen. Because it's not going to be good, right? Because the Bible says men's appointed once to die in the judgment. But I say, trust Jesus, repent, and give your life to Christ. Trust the parachute. Put on the parachute. Meaning, if you put on the parachute of Jesus, then you'll be able to make a safe landing into eternal life. You know, Jesus says, once we come to him, we talked about earlier, John 3:16, we have eternal life. It means now on this earth and also in heaven. So what I try to explain to people is that...
Yeah,
that's right. So if I just go up to someone and I say, like, let's say I just say, hey, I have a big parachute. I'm like, put this parachute on just in case the flight is going to be bumpy. There may be a bad situation that happens, okay? And I'm basically like, so I convince them to put the parachute on, okay? They put the parachute on. The flight is fine. Everybody's making fun of them. You know, they start to get frustrated, right? They say, why do I have this huge parachute on? This flight is fine. But here's the message of the gospel. When I come to someone, I need to explain this is an urgent message. You know, I think someone mentioned that earlier. This is an urgent message because I come to them, I say, hey, listen, I just talked to the pilot, and he basically told me that this plane's going down, and I want you to put this parachute on. I have two parachutes, one for me, one for you. Do you want to put it on? Well, all of a sudden, now the message becomes more urgent to that person, right? So when I explain to people a lot is I say to people, hey, a lot of people go, well, they say, you know, thank you for sharing this with me. Later on, you know, when I get older, you know, when I have more time, I'll think about it. And I might come to Jesus, you know, I might not, I'm not really sure. And I say, hey, listen, I just want to share this with you in a loving way. Jesus, every time he preached, was very urgent, right? 150,000 people die every day, okay? A lot of those people don't even know they're going to die, right? You know, they drive out in the car, you know. Like in Dallas, we have a lot of wrecks. An 18-wheeler hits them, and there's something bad can happen, right? We see it happen a lot. So I say, don't trust that you're going to have more time later on. And also, I tell them, I say, your heart can become harder. A lot of us have seen our family or friends, heart becomes harder over time. I said, right now, this is an urgent message. I want you to put the parachute on so you can make it to heaven. I want you to put Jesus on, ask forgiveness of your sins, you know. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's right. But then when the persecution comes, the Bible says, if you know Jesus, if you truly know him, it's like you have the parachute on, people are making fun of you. Well, now you're not worried because you know, hey, I want to go to heaven, right? I tell them, it's like, when you accept Jesus, you have to give up sin, which is hard, right? Doesn't mean we're perfect, but we turn from sin, we turn to Christ. So I tell them, put on the parachute, and then that way, accept Jesus and follow him, read your Bible every day, and basically you're going to grow, right? And then when people realize that, they go, oh my gosh, now I understand what you're trying to say. I'm not trying to force you to believe something. I'm caring about your eternal soul, you know. I want you to go to heaven. And it's because of Jesus. I always tell them, it's like, this is not me. Every time I meet someone, I tell them, I say, I'm so glad we got to talk today. I believe it's all because of Jesus that we got to talk. So anyway, that's all I'd like to share today. Basically, I was sharing that as a way to help us to share the gospel. So my goal is really encourage, because Bobby and I were talking about this yesterday. God needs all of us out there sharing the gospel, you know. And I think a lot of times, what I've noticed is a lot of people want to share the gospel, but You know, and God's taught me, and I still get nervous every time I share with people, right? Because you don't know what people are going to say. You don't know, you know, that, you know. But most, what I notice is, even if the person says, "Hey, Matthew, I don't want to hear this anymore," well, at least I shared the gospel with them. I got a chance, right? Tracts are really good to give to people if you have tracts, especially today in today's culture. Ray Comfort has these things called the $1 million bills. They're amazing. You can get them. You can give them to people like in the restaurant. You can go to gas stations. You can give them to your family members. It has a $1 million bill. You could say, "Hey, did you get your $1 million today?" Like, "Hey, what is?" We've done this in Walmart. Tabitha and I, people say, "What is this?" And they look on the back, and it has the gospel message. And I say, "This is worth more than $1 million, right?" And they're like, "Oh my gosh!" And it's like, so. And right away, you're able to share the gospel. You know, yeah. Tabitha has some. If you like to see, like to see him. Yeah, but tracts are really great because in digital world, you know, most of us just have our phones now, right? We don't get a lot of paper. You know, so people get a track and they're looking at it like, "Oh, what is this?" You know, and they'll just stop and talk to you. Yeah, that's what'd you say, Dolly? Yeah, it's a paper. That's right, it's paper. Yeah. So anyway, what I just want to just encourage is that God wants us to reach so many people with the gospel. He wants us to help people come to Christ, and it just takes one by one. You know, it's an adventure. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you, I don't know how many. I don't know if here you're welcome to raise your hand if you want. How many of you have ever shared the gospel with somebody and all of a sudden you just got filled with joy, you know? Because even if they just reject it, you go, "You know what? I gave them an opportunity. I gave them a chance." And later on, that person can come back to you and say, "Hey, you know, I want to talk to you more about that. You know, I really appreciate you sharing with me, you know?" And Bobby, is it okay if I say a prayer for everybody? Yes. Okay. You're welcome to pray too. Dear Lord, I just pray a special prayer over all of us today, Lord. I just thank you for my friends here in Rio Doso. God, they've been such a blessing to Tabitha and I. Help us to share the gospel. Lord, to help us to reach people with the good news, Lord. And I know, God, that I am just a beggar. Lord, just telling others where to find food, Lord. You've saved me, Lord, and you saved my wife, Tabitha, my mom, Lynn, and I know Uncle Bobby, Lord, and our whole family, Lord. And I know so many friends here that they're following you, God, and they've supported us, Lord. They prayed for us. And I pray, Lord, you just keep opening doors for us to share your good news, Lord. I just pray for our family members, our friends, Lord, those that may even be our enemies, our strangers, Lord, that you would just put on our heart, Lord, to share with them about you, Lord. And God, that you would, these things you put on my heart, Lord, and like giving someone a track, Lord, and just telling them about you, Jesus, and just bringing up to them and asking them about where they're going to go, what do they think will happen when they die, you know? Or are they a spiritual person? Lord, these are just good questions to ask people that can open the door for us to share the gospel with them, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that our friends, our family, that we'd be able to share, Lord. I pray this year we'd be able to share with people, Lord, all the time about you, Lord. And I just pray that every day we would just pray for our friends, our family, those who don't know you, Lord, and that we would just look for opportunities to share the gospel, Lord. And just like you did, Jesus, you're always going everywhere and sharing, like you did the rich young ruler we talked about today. You're always looking for people to share with, Lord, and you always were bringing up to them that they needed to repent, Lord, or they needed to turn to you, Lord, and that they could be forgiven of their sins, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would just open these doors that we'd see many friends, Lord, come to know you, Lord. And that I just pray a blessing, Lord, over Grace Harvest, Lord, and a blessing over my Uncle Bobby, Lord, that you would just bless this church, Lord, and Teresa, Lord, their whole family, God. Bless, pray you bless, Lord, in Rio Doso, Lord. I pray you protect everybody. I know they have rain coming, Lord. I pray you protect against floods, Lord. I pray that you would protect them. Lord, I pray you would open doors that many people, Lord, would come to know you, God. God, that we would see your gospel. It always starts small, Lord, just like you said in the Gospels. It always starts like it's like a mustard seed, Lord. It's so small, you can't even see it. But over time, Lord, the mustard seed became the biggest tree, Lord. And that's how the gospel spreads, Lord. So I just pray that you would help us not to be weary in doing good, Lord. Help us to keep sharing your good news. Help us to see many people come to know you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.
We'll take communion together, and if you're visiting us today and you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, you're welcome to come to the table and receive communion, and then we'll have a closing song. today. We'll also, I want to thank you for your giving to Grace Harvest Church. Because of your giving, we are able to support missionaries like Matthew and Tabitha. And we also, while they're here and updating, a lot of times we just want to bless them again for being here. So we will take an offering for them. And whatever the Lord lays on your heart, if you want to write a check, you can give it to Grace Harvest Church, and we'll write them one check, and we'll take that as we sing the song a little bit later. So for right now, please come and receive these elements. There's a cup for you visitors, and it has the bread in the bottom and the grape juice in the top. And return to your chair, and we'll pray over them and take communion together and sing a song. So please come and receive communion.